Hello and welcome to the Breach Print Podcast. Today we have another interesting episode, kind of highlighting a master that people think is trash or, you know, underrated, whatever phraseology you want to use. We're talking about English Ivan Double Agent. So the title for the Dua and what's the other keyword?
Umbra.
Umbra. Nice. We've got Grant here. You're from Maryland, I believe.
Yes, Maryland.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a strong record with them, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever lost with Ivan, too.
Yeah, strong words.
I mean, he's not good at everything, but what he is good at, he is so good at.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's dive right into it. So I know the main thing that people are down on is the upgrades having an awkward interaction, and it doesn't do, you know, massive spikes of damage and summon things. So, yeah.
So
what does he do?
So let's get one thing out of the way. If you want a master that's just going to kill your opponent, if you want a master that's just going to, you know, delete models when you need them deleted every time, pick another master. It's not what we're here to do. His one attack that does damage is 2-4-5 on a stat 5 with range 8. It is underwhelming if you're using it for damage. It's not doing that.
Yeah.
Right. But he is so good at, like, all of his skills are really good at one specific niche. And since he has so many of those specific niches, that means if you see where like two or three of those are going to score you points, you can just slot him in as this like very specific, like Swiss Army knife of very specific tools.
Yeah, that sounds like, super cool.
The plans are, yes, I admit, it is shitty that you can't charge with the plans and Deva's made to kill doesn't work with the plans. Probably an oversight, but they're not there to do that, really. That's a side benefit.
Okay.
Even without charging or getting a free attack, you're summoning or obeying on no target number, no, you know, opposed flip. It just happens.
And pretty good.
Even if you don't want that, because people also don't take explosive turn events, you can have across the map TN14 duels or take 3 damage around any of your shadow or ski markers without removing them.
Yikes.
That can just kill teams if they're grouped around those.
Oh, yeah.
And the nice thing about it is since it's during the start phase, like, if you win initiative, you can just get that. Like, I have had situations where, like, say I have Vendetta on some model, right? And they've kept that model hidden because they're like, hey, he's kind of trying. I win initiative, I immediately use Turncoat, walk that model out of position, and then activate my model and kill the shit out of it. Like, you don't need to charge to do that.
Yeah. Indeed. It sounds good.
Like, and frankly, there's a floor on how bad a model can be if it has a Presto Changeo. And I know his is not called Presto Changeo, it's called the Displacing Shot.
Sure, yeah.
But it's a Presto Changeo. There's a limit on how bad you can be with that.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't have a ton of experience with him, but it looks like he has a lot of interactions with Distracted. And
yes.
He is moving enemies around and dropping scheme markers and all kinds of stuff.
He's moving enemies and moving allies. Like, just Displacing Shot can move Umbra models, but frankly, that mostly only is him and Mordrake, because rarely will I actually hire a ton of Umbras with this Ivan.
Okay.
Like, you can hire a Nocturne, I guess, but the Nocturne setup is more for killing things, and that's more, if you want to kill things, run Ivan 1.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons he's good, is you can flex into that. If you're like, hey, what I'm doing, this opponent keyword is not going to give a shit about, you have the other one.
Mm-hmm.
He does gross damage. He builds in a shadow pin every time he attacks you. It's just run him.
Oh, yeah.
So then, what would you say is your, like, your kind of standard go-to crew with an English Ivan double agent?
I mean, frankly, if you just look at the DUA keyword, like, without the Umbra, most of them I'm taking. Like, Jim Bakar, like, there's not a single model there that I could ever say is a bad model to take. And I'll swap in and out, because all of them have specific jobs. But, like, Jin Bakara's specific job is, I don't think anyone's out here saying Jin Bakara is not amazing.
No, he's pretty good.
Gibson DeWalt's obviously solid.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Corvus Rook is really, really good at what he does. And I think a lot of people just don't understand what he's there to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people see him just as a, you know, frontline beater. And I don't think that's what he excels at.
No, he can be, but he's a drain of resources. That's like, especially if you set him like down a sideline where they don't have like, you know, their big beaters to fight him, because if they get hits on, he's 9 health. He's not surviving.
Mm-hmm.
But 6/6/6 stats and making you discard a card every time you want to hit him, because generally flexible morality is not just the single minus. It's the single minus, a keyword that tosses out concealing and distracted like it is candy. That is a lot of negative flips. You're going to have to start spending resources somewhere to get around some of them.
Yeah, and slippery is a pain in the ass, too.
Oh, yeah. It's slippery is rude. But I've had games, like, just last week I was playing against Hamelin, and he spent, like, 3 turns where he spent his entire hand, finally killed Corvus Rook. And I'm like, okay, but I win everything else because you spent all your resources on Corvus Rook. He doesn't need to have actually done things to you.
Yeah.
The threat of him doing things to you is so huge because he can ruin people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, having a trigger on every suit on the melee in Price of Progress seems good, but, you know, pressure is obviously super strong.
I think the big thing with Corvus is he forces, and this is with going to be a thing with all of DUA, because all of DUA has this mini thematicism of they force their opponent to make a lot of decisions. Like, execute, force your opponent to make a decision. Tell me what you know, force your opponent to make a decision. Pressure, backroom dealing, like, all these are forcing your opponents to make a decision, and they keep forcing decision after decision after decision, and no one is perfect enough to make the right decision every single time.
Right.
And it doesn't take, it only takes, like, 1 or 2 wrong ones before you realize you have no way to stop them from doing what they want to do anymore.
Okay, so you're saying that, you don't have like a set list, you know, you're very much tinkering out your list based off, I'm assuming, the strategies and schemes. Then
yeah.
When you were talking about Corvus Rook and stuff like that, it gave me to thinking, is there any models that you think get much better with Ivan 2 as opposed to playing them in Ivan 1?
I think the likes of like Corvus is pretty solid because, like, his slippery is way more annoying when you're giving out distracted as easily as Ivan 2 can. In keyword, like, Eva Havenhand's still good, and Ivan 2's more of a denial piece, where Eva likes denying, so she's probably got more value, but frankly, she's always good. You can't get Secret Passage and I rig the top 3 of the opponent's deck and have a bad model. That's not...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. She's real good.
There are some out-of-keyword takes that I like more with Ivan 2 than Ivan 1, but frankly, in keyword, Ivan 2 likes DUA agents more because his bonus action is very effective if you have some solid DUAs.
Yep.
Like, generally speaking, the way I've always phrased it is Ivan 1 likes to focus on the Umbra half, and Ivan 2 likes to focus on the DUA half.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so then what out of keyword or versatiles do you feel are much stronger with a double agent?
So in Seeker, there's a funny little dude called a Lamplighter. And the Lamplighter does a lot for what you want here. Lamps are concealing, and friendly Seeker models ignore the concealing. Other friendly models don't, which is to your benefit, because you love that.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you have a ton of ways to push people around. And then you have Shimmering Lights, which every time you do that gives them distracted, even if they ignore Hazardous. And you keep doing that. There's no limit on how many times you could do that.
Damn.
That is... That can be crippling. Plus, like, you have a few ways of healing. So, like, the Chronicle can sometimes just be nice. You have a few ways of healing, and you have a lot of ways to draw cards.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate those models, so I can see how they'd be good there. Any other out-of-keyword stuff?
There's a few good out-of-keyword. Like, DUA agents are not tanky. They die to stiff breeze. So, like, the general things of, like, yeah, Bellhop Porter and Intrepid Emissary are good at protecting squishy squish beans. That's still true.
Yeah.
I know people like taking botanists, because botanists are good, and you make a lot of markers, so... Obviously, botanist should be. I've not seen that work well.
Okay.
And the problem is, like, people don't... Like, botanists, you don't make the marker to feel the botanist. You eat the marker. And Ivan doesn't eat the markers until he's, you know, in the opponent's face, which is usually too late for a botanist to get its stats and start doing things as soon as I'd like them to. Like, it's generally, like, end of turn two, turn three, that a botanist is fully loaded up. And then, why'd you bring a botanist?
Yeah, fair enough. I know they're rated differently, kind of, depending on where you live, so.
Yeah. I know operatives are insane with Ivan, too. Like, absolutely bonkers.
Yeah? What do they do?
Well, Ivan, too, has that funny little attack called Covert Asian, which gives a model staggered, and then drops a ski marker within an inch of them. That operative, at 5 stones, which is not expensive... I mean, first off, there's Infiltrator ignores almost every defensive tech in the entire game.
Yeah, that's a strong ability.
And then Setup for Success doesn't need to hit to draw the card. It just needs to have attacked someone that's near that ski marker. You can just take 2 pot shots and go, I get 2 cards. And that, for 5 stones, that is good.
Yeah, well.
And then, like, hey, sometimes you just need a model with arson. That's not exactly bad.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, I do like the operatives. I saw quite a few of them when Explorers came out, especially since I play Neverborn with all the terrifying and manipulative and such.
Yep.
Arson, I think, was really highly rated. I actually liked it, thought it was good. For Neverborn, you have the little pyro guy, and I don't get a whole lot of mileage out of it, but... When you do, it's going to be one of those things you maybe use maybe one time out of 5 games, one time out of 10 games. But when you do get to use it, it is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, Arson's one of those abilities that's either useless or amazing, and there is no middle ground. It either saves the game for you or it does nothing. You don't have other options. I remember... It was a while ago, but someone was running what I think the Thunders Brothers that say, like, enemies can't remove ski markers near me. And I was like, okay, I'm an operative. I just, not one of those. Arson.
Wow, there's a model I haven't heard anything about. I don't think I've seen a Thunder Brother in all of 3rd edition.
They're funny little weirdos. I don't know what they're doing out.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty good in 2nd edition, but yeah, since 3rd came out, I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, I've seen them, like, 2 games, I think. It's not been a surplus.
Yeah.
But no.
So then...
Should we talk about the upgrades you hand out?
I mean, we can. So, I should preface talking about the upgrades. The upgrades are not his main draw. There are people who think the upgrades are his main draw, and they play him for his upgrades, and they get sad when the upgrades, like, they're all right. And they're like, oh, this master's trash. So they're playing from the upgrades, and that's not what he's doing. The upgrades are a side gig.
Okay.
Because the upgrade, like, he's doing his own thing, and the upgrades are just, if your opponent isn't paying attention to what those upgrades can do, they can absolutely catch you off guard. But if you're playing for those upgrades, then, yeah, your opponent just has to worry about the upgrades, and then... You're playing for nothing. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but, he does still have 3 AP, and after all.
3 AP, stat 6 on movement, defense, willpower, and a hazardous aura that's way meaner than some people realize at first glance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, the free summon and the obey are obviously the two big ones. Explosive turn events has absolutely saved me games before, because people don't play around it. They go, okay, he has 2 upgrades and then this one other that's a decoration. Let me just do whatever. And then all their stuff's blown up.
Yeah. TN 14 is pretty high.
Target 14, and, like, it doesn't, like, incorporeal doesn't care about it because it's not an attack. Like, there's a lot of things that just kind of don't work.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a lot of stuff where this actually, the weird interaction actually comes into effect because... there are some models with once per activation defensive tech.
Mm.
And it's not during an activation phase.
Yeah, there you go.
And so they just go, oh, depression.
I got a quick on the upgrades. It says during the start phase. Now, I'm a little iffy on the timing on this. Mm-hmm. With the start phase, is that before or after you draw your hand?
That is after initiative flip.
Oh,
so you know who's going first when you pop those.
So then they would have a full hand. So, like, on the explosive turn of events, they're going to have a full hand if they decide to cheat that 14 duel. But then, how you were saying earlier, it's a resource drain, kind of like how some people can be down on not pulses, the thing that Wong does.
Shockwaves. Shockwaves?
Yes. And how when you only have one of those, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're seeing multiples of them on multiple models, it just becomes a resource drain for your opponent. So, that like, explosive turn events can definitely be a resource drain, especially if they're having to cheat for, you know, three, four, or five models having to take the test.
I think I've had once where someone had to cheat on seven models because it was like a kind of centralized game. They were very upset at me.
Yeah. That would be a killer.
And like they passed most of them. I think like one of those seven didn't make it, but their hand was like two cards. So I'm like, I get to do whatever I want now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So Hidden Agenda, I guess, is the one you don't take.
Hidden Agenda is not his plan. That is a Verstal.
Fair enough.
I take all three of his plans depending on the situation. Like, that's the thing is, he has... Ivan, too, has a bit of a learning curve because he's got a lot of very specific tools, and you need to know when those tools are going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I would like... Hidden Agenda I would like to talk about because I do love slapping that on Ivan.
Okay, fair enough.
Double cross and backup plan as a combination on a master like Ivan where his, like, one or two attacks are just annoying enough that his game plan isn't revolve around them, but God, it's annoying if you get hit by them. That's where Hidden Agenda shines, I think. Because, like, Ivan has a ton of card draw in scattered places. Not, like, Gibson Mordrake, obviously. Or Gibson hitting Mordrake, obviously, draws cards. Like, Operatives draw cards. Corvus can draw a card. Jin Bakara can draw a card. Like, there's a lot of just happens to draw a card in his keyword. And so oftentimes you can cheat like shitty little like five or six cost cards with Hidden Agenda and go, well, this is a, you know, presto changeo. So if I hit, you're screwed. So I have to have cheated a high card. And so they cheat a high card, stop you. And you had a little five under there and you go, oh, well, guess you don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, he's huge on cognitive drain, I guess is the term. He makes your opponent make a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. I guess, what kind of pools do you tend to favor Ivan to?
I mean, Covert Operation, obviously, he's outstanding at. He has a lot of out-of-activation movement. Not just through Displacing Shot, but Stick to the Plan. Like, a lot of his DOA models, like Ambush works off Stick to the Plan. Like, there's things that you don't realize works off Stick the Plan for movement, but, like, you can, say, use Corvus Rook's bonus action, and he has a pulled here and there trigger. And it's not declared by a trigger, so, yeah, go ahead and take that.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot, and you can even do it to Mordrake, to just make Mordrake do basically a free leap, which, like, he has a ton of out-of-activation movement, both in himself and in his keyword. So, like, Covert Operation's good. Garden Stash is also generally good. It can be risky. Like, Garden Stash, if I see him in Garden Stash and they're playing a crew that kind of just wants to kill me to take those markers, I generally flex into Ivan 1.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But honestly, like, that's depending on the crew, because Ivan 2 does have some very good defensive options.
Yeah.
But Refraction Matrix has a lot of asterisks on it working, but when it works, it completely shuts down any hope of aggressing onto him.
I can see that.
I mean, obviously, like, Set the Trap is insane. Like, you know, he literally has, you know, Covert Agent. They just hit someone and you get it, basically. Things like Secret Meetup are generally pretty good. Things like, what the hell is it called? I mean, Load Them Up, obviously, good. You make shadow markers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ivan, like, doesn't tend to load them up better than Ivan 1. He doesn't make the shadow markers quite as frequently as Ivan 1.
Okay.
Let's see.
So is there any schemes or strats you definitely are like, okay, this is in the pool, you know, obviously more strat-wise than scheme-wise, that you are either not going to pick it or not going to take them in?
Yeah, I mean, I generally don't grab... I'll take him in Assassinate, but I'm never taking Assassinate. I will take Vendetta, because he can do some sneaky ways to kill, like, out-of-position models, but, like, Ivan 2 does not have a truckload of damage. Like, if you want to hire a Brock Inspector and focus on just deleting a high-value model, just hire Ivan 1. It's okay. You can summon those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, load them up is also a double-edged sword, because I've definitely had people declare it against me.
Mm-hmm.
And use my own shadow markers. In your face is also, like, iffy, because then Gibson DeWalt's a liability, Corvus Rook's a liability, and those are both your henchmen, and it's risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think especially with Gibson DeWalt, he's would be something that you would not think about leaving off your list, even within your face. Or I'd be wrong on that.
There's times I've not hired Gibson. He's not an auto-include, but he's as close to an auto-include as you can get without technically being an auto-include. Like, as it turns out, pulsing out distracted in a keyword that gets buffed from distracted, tools for the job, and, you know, surge, they're all good. Plus, Ivan 2 got Umbra back. Ivan 1 lost that. Ivan 2 never did. Mm-hmm. Gibson can bonk healing back into Ivan if you need to. Which I often have needed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frankly, a lot of times I don't need to from them attacking Ivan. I need to from them killing Mordrake like 5 times a turn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so then how do you use Mordrake, since he's got such an interesting interaction with Ivan 2? Oh. Do you use him like Scheme Runner? Do you use him to annoy people?
Very aggressively. Like, he is an absolute nuisance, and at any time, sometimes you just ignore him and then you lose a model. And you don't lose a model damage. You can, obviously, he does damage. But if he just drops a Shadow Marker on you, then hits you with that funny trigger that puts you in the Shadow Marker, that can just lose a model forever. Like, there's definite times people have not gotten their models back. I think I've thrown Damien 1 in his Shadow Marker, and he just stayed there for the rest of the game. He couldn't get the Shadow Marker.
Yeah,
I've been here, well, not recently, but before, I've been playing a lot of Yuri, and putting people in the Ice Pillar is always a big detriment. Now, granted, it's a little bit harder for Mordrake to do it, but something that people... once that's it's happened to them and they get an important model that they don't see for 2 turns or the rest of the game, they're like, ugh, got to watch out for that.
Yeah. And, like, the nice thing about Mordrake is you can throw him at anything without a ton of risk. Like, there's not a lot of abilities that are, unless they have things that ignore demises, he's super safe to just dive into your enemy team and just generally be an absolute thorn.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, like, I'll have Ivan concentrate and throw it to Mordrake, because you want to load up Ivan with a billion distracted, and Mordrake cares more about the pluses to damage flips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have another question. Going back to the upgrades, when do you find yourself using those more? Is it more of a turn 2, turn 3 thing, or later in the game, or is it just dependent?
Like, if I see it, if I have initiative and I see a place where I can score if I use an upgrade, obviously I use that upgrade. A lot of times, like Secrets of Shadow, and this is where a lot of people, they put it and they summon it like in the midfield and they go, oh, well, the Deva can't kill anything, so now it's dead. You use Secrets of Shadow when their main crew has moved up and then like their shitty little support or scheme runners are off isolated. Like, I had someone run Prospectors. Prospectors pretty good. And I just, like, turn 2, his whole crew has moved up. There's a Deva on your Prospector. Now you have to go back and deal with that, or you accepting that Prospector is going to last maybe 1 turn more.
Yeah, those Devas are kind of sneaky annoying, especially if you summon them.
Yeah, and, like, Turncoat is really good at getting things like Vendetta, because you can move a model out of position and then immediately get the Vendetta point.
Yeah, for sure. There are a lot of models that depend on either auras or, you know, other models protecting them, and that just screws them over.
It is dependent, but like there's a lot of times where if you, like, a lot of what I'd say about the upgrades is not necessarily look at hey, what's this upgrade doing for me immediately? Which you can, but what would my opponent's response be to this upgrade? What is the natural thing they'd want to do to stop this? And if they don't want to do that already, then you're in gold. Like, if you put a Deva in the center field during turn two and they want to brawl in the center field, they want to do that anyway, man.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Why are you there?
Yeah.
But
well, I guess we've been talking a lot about Ivan 2. What does Ivan 1 do that 2 I mean, does Ivan not? Do one murders is... and summons, right?
Yeah, he's murderous, he summons, he's... Ivan 1 is why Ivan 2 can be good. Because I will admit, Ivan 2 is very much he's nichely good. Like, if the situations where he's bad, he's useless. But that's the nice thing, is a lot of those situations, you could just... If you, like, go in and see, oh, they have, like, 5 laugh-off models, so this is... Ivan's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, just hire one.
Yeah.
And the summon is a nice threat in Ivan 1, but... A lot of times, you're better off just going, hey, free Shadow Pin. Min 3 is good. Staggered's good.
Yep. Yeah, and he can be very irritating to get off the board, too.
Yes. Less so than 2, I feel, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got rid of Umbra on him, made it so Gibson can't keep punching health into him.
Yeah. Although, getting that summons off is pretty good. Being able to summon something 10 inches away and it's in base contact with the model you're hitting. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that's good, but yeah, you know, but also, you know, min 3 with staggered is, you know, not too shabby either.
Yeah. The way I've always seen his keyword is kind of split up into their jobs. The DOA do weird things. They mess with your opponent and they score. All of them are squishy. Very few of them can last in a fight in a direct confrontation. The Umbra are a little tanky. But mostly they're just in your opponent's face, annoying to remove, and if they're not removed, they kill things. So the Umbra is just there to stall for the DOA to do what the DOA wants to do. You're not declaring Ivan, either Ivan, and expecting you to have yourself to have a full crew, or even, frankly, half your crew at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. You're just scoring even though all your stuff's dying, because they couldn't stop you in time.
Yeah.
So then, playing Ivan 1, especially after the nerf, what would you say your go-to summon is? Is that a Deva, or do you still like Brock Inspectors as summons?
Deva.
Deva.
Brock Inspectors, if you need irreducible and no healing, like if you're fighting the Hoffman, yeah, summon a Brocken. He doesn't like those. If you're fighting Guild in general, frankly, Guild really doesn't like those things. But like a lot of times, Devas are just kind of better. They're just generally better at just being an absolute nuisance due to the combination of Clingy and Latch On.
Have you ever had any big mimic plays with them?
I mean, I don't think I've ever had... I don't use... Like, mimic I'll often use, like, if I want the on your heels.
Okay, sure.
But their triggers on Maul are really good. Like, Lingering Shadows, good. They can heal off that. Bowled over, really solid if that's just what you need to do. And fun fact about bowled over, you push them before you move, so they make a move duel, or you get to just teleport up to them and get made to kill. Which is funny. And then, hey, Shadow Pin. We talked about Shadow Pin. Shadow Pin's good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like, and also, they come in stunned, and at least with Ivan 1. Ivan 2, they come in slow. But they come in stunned with Ivan 1, and I don't want to waste one of my actual actions stealing a good action.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And generally speaking, if a Deva has survived, like, 2 or 3 turns, I've either placed them really wrong, or I've already won the game. Because
yeah.
They're summoned in your opponent's face, bullying their stuff. The opponent has to kill the Deva.
Mm-hmm.
So either they don't have to kill the Deva, in which case, why did I put a Deva there? Or they can't kill the Deva, in which case, oh man, they're having a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Devas were a 7-cost model, so they're a little bit more survivable than I was thinking off the top of my head.
Yeah. Every single Umbra model, every single Umbra model has defense 6. All of them.
Dang. That's pretty good.
All of them generally have absolute garbage, trash, doo-doo willpower. But a lot of willpower attacks don't ignore concealment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That aura of concealment can really play havoc on especially a ranged crew that doesn't ignore it and doesn't pass out a lot of focus. So, like, you know, my Neverborn crews.
Well, even if they pass out a lot of focus, like, if it's a ranged crew that doesn't necessarily get out of engagement easily, Ivan just summons a Deva on top of them, and then, God, it's annoying. Like, that's another great thing is, oh, you have a model with sniper. Ivan, too, goes, huh, I have this Secrets of Shadow model. Your sniper model's now busy.
Yeah.
And sure, there's a lot of them have quick retreat and stuff, but that's now a persistent threat they have to just worry about until one of them dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can force activations, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that always feels good to do.
So then, do you ever take, like, any types of terrain and stuff like that? Do you ever look at a board and go, this is definitely not an Ivan board? Or is that that big of a concern with his crew?
I would definitely prefer if there's more concealing on the board for so many obvious reasons. Everything he has gets so much better if he's shooting through concealing. But it's not a deal breaker. Like, I like a lot of blocking because Eva has secret passage and she can teleport between that, but I can just not hire Eva if I think secret passage is bad. Like, if you need to make concealing, you have tools to make a lot of concealing, even with Ivan too, because like Gibson DeWalt, These Dark Delights, that can be redone with Ivan's bonus action, Stick to the Plan.
Then so what would you say are some counters to Ivan 2? Would something that you definitely don't want to see across the board, whether it's a certain master or maybe certain models in that keyword? Just kind of looking at it off the top of my head, anything with built-in plus flips?
I don't love that. Parker is an interesting challenge for Ivan.
Yeah.
Parker has the built-in plus flips, and then he just has Bad Dog breaking all my stuff. Real sad. But anything that also ignore more than built-in plus flips, ignoring concealing is huge. Because I could give you enough minus flips to negate a lot of those plus flips if I'm allowed to use concealing and distracted and all that stuff. But like ignoring concealing's big deal. A good 2-inch melee beater that's like able to chase Ivan. And that's, you know, a lot of asterisks, but, like, Misaki, really bad for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Misaki really just doesn't give a shit about anything he does and just shows up and stabs him outside of his stupid hazardous, and then he's sad and also dead.
But she does that to a lot of people, not just him.
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, me being the Neverborn player, I'm, like, thinking, what would I want to play against him? So, I mean, Yuri, especially Yuri 2, because he can just blow up your shadow markers and turn them into his markers would be really good. And I've got a lot of 2-inch reach in that crew, so that would help
Pandora's
specifically
Luck
against
Thief.
Ivan.
Yeah, Pandora's Luck Thief is a catastrophe for him.
Yeah.
He relies so much on getting like a billion. Like I will often flip 3 or 4 cards, take the highest on every single one of his attacks. If I can't do that, I am very sad. Howard, never declare Pandora 1 into Ivan, because I can just hire 2 operatives, and Pandora literally cannot damage the operatives in any way if it's Pandora 1. She has no tools. That's not enemy only.
Yeah, and I believe Candy is also the same way.
Candy, I think she still can technically kill them with just burning out them a lot, but it's not great.
Yeah, not what she wants to be doing. But so then, what kind of like your unpack? What does it look like? Generally speaking,
it. I mean, really depends on the deployment, but early on, I generally. Like, if I see a good card with Gibson to pick up early game, I'll grab that. And then Gibson wants to go early anyway, because he wants to throw out of These Dark Delights just to have shadow markers up the board. And he wants to throw out Mechanical Fireflies to give people, like, 500 distracted in your whole crew. And generally, Mordrake takes gets hit with a shockwave, does not take the distracted, just throws it to Ivan, goes, hey, Ivan, have like 12 distracted. You're never getting a minus flip this whole game. Like, after that, like, operatives often I'll have move up. Generally, Eva doesn't want to go in early because she's very squishy if she's not actively disrupting a team. I'll sometimes have Corvus, like, walk up a little bit, but generally you want to keep him a little to the side. The unpack is very much kind of reactionary. It's a lot of try to go with your unimportant nonsense first, because if you need to get up the board, you can get up the board. You don't have to rush moving up the board. Almost all your models, if they need to go somewhere, will go somewhere. Like the operative, kind of move them early, whatever. Everyone else can get places. So you're really waiting to see where your opponent commits to and reacting.
So would you say that also applies for the rest of the game? You maybe kind of see him as a counterpunching crew? Then you want to wait to see what they're doing and then counter it and then just go with what is going to score you your points?
You certainly can. A lot of times he starts getting into the thing of best defense is a good offensive sense of like he will force a lot of their answers early. And then like Ivan, both Ivans, frankly, I see are kind of reverse support master of they're not necessarily there to score all your points directly. They're just so disruptive that your opponent has to deal with them and can't deal with how good the DOA keyword is at scoring.
Okay.
And that's helped by Jin Bakara because he just sits in there, gives you a pass token, and you know every now and then goes, enemy intel, show me what you have, nerd.
So then with after your unpack, so let's say you're getting into turn two and beyond,
yeah.
Kind of like looking at Ivan's card and stuff like that, he looks like maybe, especially in, like with Guard the Stash and stuff like that,
yeah.
He's looking as a master who wants to go towards the end of the turn with all his abilities and stuff like that to move models around. Do you find that to be the case, or is it just...
A lot of times that is the case. In early turns, he wants to go to the end, and in you know turn four, turn five, he often wants to go at the beginning.
Okay.
But in early turns, he generally wants to go in. It really depends on, like, generally speaking, turn one, one of the big things I do is I don't spend the pass tokens unless they're, like, heavy alpha striker, like they're Karras 2 with Harrison. I know they're going to try to dive bomb me. I don't spend the pass tokens. I just try to win turn two initiative. Because generally speaking, I see somewhere where if I do something now, they do not have a reaction to it, where I can use one of my plans that whatever plan I have that just makes everything annoying for them, and then immediately activate with whatever hole I just opened with that plan. Like, if it's just, hey, latch on, minus defense and concealing and friendly fire means they're super weak to just a bunch of gunshots to the face, then that's what I gotta do.
Okay. I was about to say gunshots to the face, but Ungentlemanly Affairs, you don't care about friendly fire and for yeah. that. Plus, I mean, with all the other stuff, you'd be having enough yeah. plus flips that even if you didn't turn friendly fire from a negative yeah. to a positive, you'd be able to not have to worry about that. But
yeah, you not only don't care about plus friendly fire, you want friendly
yeah.
fire.
Yeah.
You love friendly fire. You're like, please, please engage me.
Oh, man. So it seems like you're saying that he's definitely a toolbox master.
Yes.
He's got a little bit of something. Now, when, especially maybe early on when you were playing him, did you find that yourself you struggled with bringing the right tools for the crew and the strats and schemes?
A little bit, yes. And I had the benefit of the first time I played him, it was against someone who had never played their master, because that was like at the height of Malifaux Burns. So I still kind of got lucky there. But yeah, I definitely really did not use his tools well when I was first playing him. It does take, you're not going to slap this master, go down and go, I'm going to sweep every person I play. It's not simple. It takes a couple games to get the hang of seeing what you need and when.
Okay. So, kind of talking about going back to strats and schemes, there certain models you see yourself taking with certain strats? So, like, the Ava Havahand with the Guard the Stash markers being impassable and where she can jump to him. Do you find yourself taking her with that strategy or certain other models and stuff like that?
Yeah, you definitely take for what the pool is. Like, Eva Havenhand's really good. She's also She's really good at guard stash for a couple reasons, not the least of which is the convulsions trigger just kind of really ruins people's lives if they're trying to protect that. Like, the base attack, even if you... Not even convulsions. It's not a convulsion trigger. It's just her base attack does that. And then, like, its model's damaged, so that sweeping strike trigger means that's an AoE.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had people not realize that before. And go, oh, I'll just, you know, put three or four models. She can't move them all. And yes, I can. Your hand's empty. What are you going to do about this?
Yeah, well, models damaged is usually a disadvantage. But, yeah, obviously with blast, that doesn't really apply.
Yeah. And, like, she's a great example of, like, her damage track in itself is not excellent, right? Like, none of her damage is blowing anyone's mind here. It's just her disruption tools are so valuable. She's really good, like, Ivan's really good at things like Breakthrough, because, yeah, just Secret Passage, and then you have some Don't Mind Me stuff, or, like, he's outstanding at Hidden Martyrs. Because you take Mordrake as one of your hidden martyrs, and then you can kind of take whatever is the other, and if they don't kill whatever the other one is, and you can let Mordrake die, and then if they do, you don't.
Yeah.
And then they're really, you know.
So Mordrake
heads I win, tails you lose.
He's not insignificant? I thought he was insignificant.
Yeah, Mordrake's very significant. Mordrake is outstanding.
Okay, well then... I'll have to remember that if I ever play against that. He is not insignificant. For some reason, I think he was.
Yeah, you think, oh, it's one of the immortal totems that don't die, so he's got to be insignificant. Like, otherwise, he just runs everywhere. No, he gets to just run everywhere and score. Like, his only major downside is A, movement 4, and B, yeah, he really doesn't like Lantern of Souls, don't.
Yeah, or... Karai with her models that can pass out so you can't heal, so that would be kind of a sneaky way to get around his demise.
Yeah, though that does not ignore concealment, which can be a problem for that.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because he's got that aura.
True.
Yeah, but if someone's looking to get that on him, they'll probably throw as many resources as they have available to get that on him.
If you have a tool that could force Mordrake to die, it is a problem for Mordrake, and you have to play him a little more conservatively of, like, you know, testing at the edge of waters and not necessarily going as absolutely ham in on people, but...
Oh, yeah.
That's just, like, if you have a big demise model, don't bring it into where a bunch of models kill that big demise model. Don't charge Mordrake at an archivist. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a bad day for him.
Yeah. You know, like, his movement 4 is very not telling of how fast he is, because he can shade step twice with stick to the plan if he needs to. So he can kind of pick his targets. He can pick who he wants to fight pretty well, as long as you're able to get concealing up there ahead of time. Which, that's a lot of times, sometimes just what you want to use that Secrets of the Shadow thing for. Because Devas have an aura concealment, so sometimes you just summon one in before Mordrake has to activate, as, like, this little stepping stone to give him somewhere to teleport to.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, sometimes just why you brought a lamp lighter, so you could just point at a part of map and go, that's always concealing.
Yeah. Well, I guess, are there any other kind of side notes or things we haven't covered that you wanted to talk about?
Let me see, I have a... Laugh-off's obviously bad. A lot of the things that really ruin a lot of things similar to Ivan, I would say you don't have to worry about if you plan it out well. Like, he really needs triggers and bonus actions, so, like, people try to give him stunned, and then he just shrugs that off to Mordrake, and you go, oh, well, sucks to suck.
Like, it's one of the first mistakes I've made against Ivan, yeah.
Yeah. Goes, oh, no, my totem's stunned.
On Mordrake, one more question. On his shade step, it says it has to go to concealing terrain, so the auras around the Umbra models would not count. It had to actually be terrain, correct?
The auras around are treated as concealing
terrain. Are they?
It's not
concealing. Yeah.
Yeah. it very much counts.
Wow.
You can even technically teleport him into his own aura if you just need, like, the slightest nudge of movement. Like, if he's engaged and he wants to, you know, do something else, he can teleport into his own aura. It's really finagly and doesn't get you very far, but it's something that you can do.
Yeah, I mean, if you just need to move them a little bit and you don't want to take the chance of a disengaging or, you know, whatnot, just need a five and boom, you're out a little bit from where you need to be.
Yeah, or even like, honestly, just teleport, not even for the teleport, but just get the trail of dust, because you don't need it. That's an immediately. You don't need to succeed. You could just eat in like a one of crows, put a shadow marker under them, and look at that. They're buryable. Oh, no. Whatever will I do with this? I'll bury you. This is what I'm going to bury you.
Yeah. Especially if you do that, they're like going, oh, I know what's coming next.
Yeah. And like, even if they like spend all the resources stopping it, they're spending all the resources stopping it on Mordrake. You have other threats.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the whole thing is you can't stop everything he wants to do. You have to pick what you need to get, what you need to let through, unless his deck is absolutely hating him. But that's true with literally everyone in the game.
Yeah. So then what I know a lot of times I saw with Ivan One, people were bringing the emissary. Do you see yourself taking the emissary with Ivan Two at all? Or it's just
if I'm facing an aggressive enough crew, like emissary is good because you have a crew full of very squishy squish beans. And so if I'm expecting them to attack me before I could get situated to make that impossible, yeah, I take the emissary. He's really effective at just kind of denying a lot of aggression. And you have a whole lot of models who are very squishy if you can land hits that you don't want to be aggressed upon.
Yeah, and especially if you need someone who can deal some damage. I mean, his bottom end damage isn't good, but 2-4-6, that's that nice spiky damage track. Mm-hmm. He can help out if you're kind of being you got a crew that's a little pillow-fisted.
Yeah, it is. It can be a double-edged sword in that one, because at least with how I play Gibson, I often am throwing out those mechanical Firefly shockwaves, and just due to how Emissary works, he's often where I want to throw them, and if he's distracted, he can't ignore distracted, obviously. Yeah. That is a thing you have to play around, is you're throwing out a lot of just kind of pulse distracted, and 2-4-6 is real bad if you can't focus up.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, with Neverborn, bringing a model with a Black Blood crew, you got to be careful where you put them or you're going to get your own model killed by people punching your Black Blood models.
Oh, absolutely. I've definitely seen people do that. But like, and that's kind of true with a lot. Intrepid Emissary is good. I also really like Bellhop Porter.
Okay. There's a model you don't hear people talking a whole lot about. What do you bring the Bellhop Porter for?
I mean, Extended Reach is just solid versus some crews. I've got your back with the tag out trigger. Tag out is very good trigger for that. Like Intrepid also has I've got your back, but like the tag out is a huge difference, frankly. He gets a ton of shielded very quickly, because unlike botanists, he doesn't need to see the markers eaten. He just needs to see the markers exist.
Okay.
He gets a ton of shielded. Throw junk can throw shadow markers at the opponent. Now this is another one of you're throwing out a lot of concealing that he doesn't ignore. So throw junk can get shadow markers on your opponent like very early game. You're not doing that once the board is fully concealed. That's not happening. But after that, he's got like a stat 6 melee 2 with knock aside.
Okay.
Solid. And like armor 1, shielded and extended reach. And also, you know, sometimes you can't see over your own guys because your whole keyword's size 3 or size 2. So having a model that could just shove them up a little bit. Brockens might be size 3, but Brockens don't need to see over, so I don't think it counts. I don't hire Brocken.
Well, I think Accomplice is also a pretty underrated ability. Have you ever used that with him?
I mean, there are times when, like, yeah, knock aside or I've got your back into Accomplice is good. I don't like giving up activation control unless I know it's earning me a lot back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use that a ton.
Yeah,
that's not to say it's not amazing when it's useful. It's just can be one of those things that if you always try to get use out of it, you can end up losing yourself the game faster than you're winning anything.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you might use it one out of every 10 games, but that one time it's going to be good if you remember it's on the card.
Yeah, that's kind of the true with a lot of DOA is a lot of their stuff is going to be useful between like every half a game to every 1 in 10 games. And then the one time it's useful, you instantly win because that was useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, lock away on Eva Haven hand. Not useful 90% of games. And then you get one time where, like, you're facing a Karis and she has a big pyre marker and you go, you can't do anything around that big pyre marker. That, and she goes, oh, sucks.
So, I mean, bringing up Bellhop Porter, do you have any more secret sauce models that you don't see people using that you like to bring with Ivan too?
Let me try to... I mean, Lamplighters and Bellhop Porters, I think, are the spiciest. I do really like the Alpinist in Ivan too, but I don't think... I don't know if that's the secret sauce, actually. I feel like people know the Alpinist is good.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they do, but it's not, again, not one of those models you see a lot, or at least I don't see a lot of.
Yeah, like... he's able to, because a lot of your models don't actually ignore terrain for movement, so he's just solid for a lot of problematic maps. And mm-hmm. 50 feet of silk rope is, like, it's another thing of, yeah, you don't ignore concealing, be careful of that. But also, it targets movement, and Ivan has a lot of things that kind of just stagger stuff.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it also can help with the unpack, too.
Oh, I've definitely had Alpinist carry Corvus Rook around a little bit. like, even if you need to, you can just charge someone building and knock aside and, mm-hmm. you know, it's damaging yourself a little bit, but points is points.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win points off of surviving models. You win points off of points.
That is true. Points are prizes.
Yep. Which, I mean, I think that kind of mentality is what you need to have always with Ivan. Because Ivan, a lot of times, have to kind of go, okay, these models that I care about, these my pride and joy, my babies, are going to die. I could save them if I spend all these resources, or I could let him die. Mm-hmm. And you have to let him die.
Yep.
Eva Haven Hand and Corvus Rook are, you know, surrounded by the enemy because they've been an absolute nuisance and they have a full hand of cards. They're spending all of them to just kill them. Just let him go, man. It's okay. get your points elsewhere. Yeah, yeah. They have no cards.
Yeah, yep. The few times I've seen Ivan, Eva was one of those models that I would try and kill as quick as possible because I knew mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10 that was a model that my opponent was going to be using to try and score points. So that's yeah. the ones you want to get off the board. Brock Inspectors likely to score you points. They're there just
yeah, Brock
kill
Inspectors
stuff.
Aren't likely to score you points. And frankly, for 8 stones, they're squishier than they look without terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I understand. Brocken had to be nerfed. They could have used Terrifying 10. Illuminated have Terrifying 10. Void Hunters have Terrifying 10. Terrifying 10 would have been fine.
Yeah, I think losing the Terrifying was a bit much. I think their main issue was the pulse, that if you took the damage, mm-hmm. even if you weren't in base contact with them, I don't remember exactly what it was, yeah. but that was...
It was, if you're in base contact with it, you took the damage whether you succeeded or failed
the duel. That's what
so
it was,
they,
yeah.
They just kind of hugged you and went, damage, and... Then they gave that to like a 6-inch on a, not a 6-inch, but like a 2-inch on a master and Dashel, and that's a different complaint.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, I understand nerfing Terrifying because it can be very problematic if you get one of those out and you can't kill them, because the Umber models are supposed to die. They're balanced around the fact that they die. If they don't ever die, it's a huge problem with how they work.
Mm-hmm.
But losing... But Brocken are 8 stones. And even, like, summoning them, you have to summon them off of someone who's equal stat to you, which is not necessarily what you are loving doing, right?
Yeah.
So having them have no Terrifying at all, like, they just... Man, they're squishy. Man, they just get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I, for one, was not happy, or was not sad to see the nerf, but I think it just went a bit far.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the Ivan nerf overall at all. Like, am I sad that Gibson can't wrench his health back? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I sad I can't sometimes just he who get a Brocken off of a 2 because it didn't have a target number on it? Yeah. Am I accepting that I shouldn't have been able to do that? Also, yeah. That was probably a little much.
But oh well, this too shall pass.
Yeah. Yeah. And. Hey, sometimes you just... If you do want to hire a Brocken, I think Ivan 2 is ironically the better catalyst to do it because of just displacing shot, just shoving a Brocken into your entire opponent's team.
So, yeah. Speaking of that, so do you think this GG, GG3 that we're in now, is better for Ivan 2 than, let's say, the last Gaining Grounds? Or do you think the last Gaining Grounds was more to Ivan 2's liking?
So, yes and no. Both of those?
Okay.
Because there's less pools in Gaining Grounds 3 that Ivan likes, but he likes the pools that he likes more, if that makes sense.
Narrower focus, but when he gets that focus, he's doing quite well.
Outstanding. Yeah. Like, Hidden Martyrs, like, the Covert Operation Gods, the stuff that's super positional-based, yeah, he's very good. Vendetta and Hidden Martyrs, that he can kind of focus on killing one or two key models, he loves that. And then you get cursed objects, and he goes, I'm not here. Like, there's two entire strategies. Carve a Path can be good for him. Like, it gives concealing markers, but it also eats all your shadow markers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, bit of a double-edged sword.
So then, if you could make the perfect pool for an Ivan 2, what would you want to see in it?
I'd want to see some schemes that Ivan 1's good at, because one of the best parts of Ivan 2 is a lot of people play for Ivan 1, frankly.
Okay.
But, like, I'd probably do, like, Covert Operation. Set the Trap, I'd almost definitely have. Like, Set the Trap is... Just use the Covert Agent attack, like, twice. You got it. Done. You also, like, have Eva, who has Don't Mind Me in Secret Passage. She could kind of just teleport in center of the team and go, hey, marker, done. I really like Vendetta and Hidden Martyrs on him, as I said. Like, I don't hate load them up, even though, as I said, it can be a bit of a risk. Let me think. Secret Meetup is good. You definitely have a lot of tools to pull it off. But yeah, like, Set the Trap, Hidden Martyrs, Vendetta, load them up, and what would probably Breakthrough, honestly. Something that forces them to push, because I want them to push away from their own backline. I want them to overextend.
Okay. Do you have anything else, James?
No, I was going to kind of wrap it up here.
Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah, thanks, Grant, for sharing some tech with us. Definitely good talking with you.
No problem. I love hearing myself talk.
So, Grant, are you a tournament goer, or are you just mainly...
I try to go to tournaments.
Okay. Well, hopefully here, because I enjoy going to a tournament or two from time to time. Mm-hmm. I will be out on the East Coast for Nova. So do you think you'll be making it to that, whether it's the Invitational or the Open?
I mean, if I'm going, it's because the Open. I don't play a ton of Vassal.
Okay.
It really depends on my wallet, what it says about the Nova more than anything else. I know I'm going to Gen Con because I already got tickets for that one.
Oh, well, I will be there, so I'll get a chance to meet you. Yeah. Are you going to be playing in the Malifaux tournament, or are you just going for other things? Or?
I'm doing the Tyrant tournament. I'll probably be doing other things too, but Tyrant tournament's fun. Win or lose, Tyrant tournament's fun.
Always a good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then I will get a chance to meet you there.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, you'll avoid Scott altogether.
I'm a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. It's entirely possible we've already met, and I can't place the face to the name.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be the oldest guy at the tournament, so just look for the old guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, just finally, I wanted to kind of put out that we are on this podcast looking to interview people who kind of have these oddball lists or kind of dark horse masters that people think are pretty underrated and have things that have been ideally working for them. I guess you can be like me and play Lucius 1 till the cows come home and lose every game, but, you know, that's kind of a different thing. So, yeah, definitely reach out to breachburnt@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to talk with us about. Otherwise, thanks for listening. See you next time.